follow along. And I don't know if you have a Bible or if you don't have a Bible, I don't know what your situation is, but we have some Bibles in the chairs, and you're welcome to take one of those if you'd like. There's some smaller ones in the window if you want to go a little more hard to read. Those are tiny, tiny words, and I'm really old, so tiny words don't exist for me. I just kind of gloss over them. So I was thinking about this song on the way here this morning, and I can't remember where I heard it, and then it just came to me. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have what? The facts of life. See, that is not a song. It's actually a TV show, which tells you what I did more as a child than anything else. I watched more TV. So the good news and the bad news, there's a guy who goes to the doctor. He's really worried. He calls him and says, everything hurts. I got to see you. Everywhere. It hurts. And so he goes to the doctor. He says to the doctor, look, he says, my shoulder hurts and my chest hurts. My legs hurt. Everything I touch, it hurts. The doctor leaves the room and comes back. He says, well, I've got good news and bad news. He says, well, let me have the good news first. He says, well, the good news is your heart is fine and your chest is fine. Your legs are fine. He says, what's the bad news? The bad news is you have a broken finger. Broken finger. Okay, maybe we'll try something else. Guy goes to the doctor. I'll forget it. We'll just move on. It's interesting that, you know, I love to play that game with my wife. I have some good news and bad news. What do you want to hear, right? And, you know, I'm not the guy who invented the good news, bad news story, okay? Remember Charles Dickens? What did he write? Somebody tell me. What? Oliver Twist? Christmas Carol, what? Tale of Two Cities. What is the first line of A Tale of Two Cities? Anybody know? Literary giants? It was the best of times and the worst of times. There's always good and there's bad. There's always things that come and go. And this is easily the good description of what Jesus' time was like. It was the best of times and the worst of times. And Judea was a vassal state or a servant state of the Roman Empire. And so Augustus was an emperor, and he gave watch to Herod, who acted as king. And so poverty was all around, and sickness was very common, and justice, however, was not very common. So it was not good times. And to make it worse, the prophets were silent. The prophets of whom the Judeans were listening to had been silent for 400 years. I don't know about you, but getting the silent treatment for 4 minutes is tough in my house. But 400 years, we were getting the silent treatment, and they were asking questions like, where's the Messiah that you promised in Scripture? It was the worst of times for them. They were waiting to see what was going on. And there were some religious stargazers in Persia, in the east, okay, who saw it differently. They had observed this unusual planetary alignment that took place. And it made the brightest star they'd ever seen, okay, just the way things lined up. And for them, it was an omen. It was a good omen. It was a good thing. And they were looking to the stars for things, and they were seeing the best of times was coming, and they were looking for a world leader. They were looking for somebody to come, and I think Mary would agree that it wasn't the worst of times for her. It was the best of times. And when Mary went through the events of the first Christmas day, she was filled with wonder, as it says in Scripture. What does it say in Luke chapter 2, verse 19? It says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She treasured these things. She was going through the best of times. It was kind of an unbelievable 9 months for Mary. She had been thinking a lot about what had happened to her, and a lot had happened in that time, and perhaps it reflected in the beginning of what was going on was a point of confusion for her. But there are times that she was, you know, when people glow when they're pregnant, I don't know this personally because I've never been, but my wife glowed when she was pregnant. She was always happy, and it always made me happy to see her happy. Right? And so there were things that Mary was going through that it was goes great with this thing that she was having to happen in her life. And there are two things that we see from Mary's story, that we see two responses that she worshiped God in both the good times and the bad times. Mary went through the whole gambit of good and bad in this time. And so let's go to our text in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And you can follow along if you want. It says, in the sixth month, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered, what kind of greeting might this be? But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child, and you will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she is the one who is barren in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. At this time, Mary got ready and hurried down to the hill to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you who are among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my room leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed what the Lord had said to her will be accomplished. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been called mindful of humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent away rich empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham, his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So the first thing we see here is that Mary rejoices in the good times. The notes are very short today in your message. As a matter of fact, I don't even think I put them in there because they're so short. It's just knowing that Mary rejoiced in the good times. And Mary was all about being chosen at this point. She was amazed at the wonder of it all. Matter of fact, they said that she was, highly favored? Highly favored, that's pretty good. You know, as far as the angels are concerned, if someone came to me and said, by the way, Dan, you're highly favored, I would feel pretty good about myself. I don't know about you, but I would feel really great about that. And she immediately saw the privilege of it all. She saw what she would be doing. She would be selected to carry the long 400-year awaited Messiah. I know that she probably could have been just one more nameless, pregnant peasant girl. But she doesn't remain unnoticed in the village. She does not congratulate herself. She doesn't pat herself on the back, and she doesn't come across as if she'd earned something. Instead, what she does is she celebrates God. She reaches out to God, and she touches him with praise. You see, we talked about touching each other. We talked about touching the family, touching our neighbors, touching others. Well, this is Mary reaching out and touching God. To experience the touch of God, sometimes we have to reach out and touch him ourselves. And this is what Mary does. She sees clearly that this is the most remarkable thing, this thing that God is doing. And it's about to change the human story. This birth is about to change the human existence. This will be the most important 3 decades of all time. Because Jesus Christ is about to be born. And where is God in all this? He's finding himself occupied with 2 women. Mary and Elizabeth. You see, God has been quiet all these years, and now all of a sudden, he raps on their door. He says, you're going to be blessed. And he starts to talk about these women. And one woman is kind of this old barren woman. I don't mean to be insensitive, but that's what she was. She was beyond childbearing years, you know. And so if you just imagine that all of a sudden, this woman who could not before get pregnant, all of a sudden is pregnant and is carrying something, something great. And then the other woman in the story is a young virginal woman. I don't know if that's a word, but it makes sense to me. It'll make sense to you. Say it over and over again before you leave, and it will. Okay, so she's very young and young. Anyways, and Mary is responding to a powerful call. I don't know about you, but I don't know many 13 or 14-year-old girls that could handle that kind of phone call or that kind of discussion. And what happens is her response is amazing. What does she do? She sings out a song. She sings out a wonderful song. It's a song of worship, and she says what? My soul glorifies the Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord. The word glorifies, which means magnifies or lifts up. It's a powerful word. It says something mammoth is about to happen. It's an expression, an exaltation of who God is. I don't know if you've ever had a feeling so big that you just couldn't put it to words. She just said simply, my soul magnifies and glorifies the Lord. No other words could describe it. She has this unspeakable joy that is too difficult to express. And she communicates things about God's character. I want to notice one that particularly God is talking about is that God is a saving God. He's a God who rescues us. From 400 years of silence, he rescues us. And you don't have to plead and beg with other gods. You don't have to lay down a sacrifice with like you do with other gods. You know, you don't have to do all those things. God is saving because that is in his nature to do so. God is a saving God, and he will reach out to his people who are in need and who are experiencing the worst of times. What do you think, possibly, Mary could have been thinking, oh, so many years ago? I came across this video that I want you to see. Just kind of a monologue of what Mary might have been thinking. So let's watch this together. Wrong one. Dano, wrong one, bud.
change everything because he already changed me.
So we see that Mary might have been thinking some things that I hadn't thought about. You know, we all have our own ideas. And so she was rejoicing God in the good times, right? And she was rejoicing God in the bad times, point number two. Two-point message this morning. Reach out and touch God with praise, and even in the bad times of life. And when the news came to Mary about being chosen, you wonder how these events would affect somebody like that. It was good times, you know, as they would say, good times to be selected by the Lord, you know. Here she was, innocent physically, emotionally. She was about to have a child out of wedlock, and she had to tell her fiancé, which probably wasn't going to go very well. She knew that. We talked about that a little bit last week. And she's pregnant by God, as she has to tell Joseph, by the way. And so we have this disappointment and confusion on Joseph's face, and we have this soiled reputation and certainly this opportunity to have ridicule take place in her life. And eventually Joseph does get it. And he gets on board with the fact that Mary is going to have a little baby God. And, you know, and eventually he makes this difficult decision, you know, to make the trip to Bethlehem and keep her with him. And because of the census, he does all the things he has to do. And then when they finally make it to Bethlehem, there's no room at the inn. Okay, there's nothing for them to do. And so can you imagine? She showed up and all of a sudden contractions are starting to get hard and heavy and all those things, and she knew it was time, and so she just makes the best of it. So what does she do? She picks probably a least desirable location to have a baby, in a stable, and they had a little bit of privacy until the shepherd showed up, you know. And the attitude of Mary is amazing during this time. She continues to touch God through this process. Because she's a true worshiper of God. And you can tell a true worshiper of God because they go through circumstances in life, and yet they still point people to God. They have things in their life that change, and all these changing things in their life, they still point people to an unchanging God. And that's what's amazing about the story of Mary. She has all these things to ponder in her heart, as they say in Scripture. And she ponders them in her heart, and yet she still is content and worships God. She was obedient and worthwhile even through all of her hardship. And I don't know about you, but when I go through a hardship, I start to doubt my worthwhileness. I start to doubt that I am worthy to be here. I start to doubt that I'm worthy to be called a servant of God. I start to doubt my calling. I start to doubt all these things. But one thing I never doubt is that God saved me. I can never doubt that because I know that I've made that decision, and it's a lifetime decision. So then I can touch God with praise. Even in my doubt, I can touch God with praise. There's a professor in a Southern California school that said this in one of his speeches, in one of his teaching classes. He said, in our culture, we tend to worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. How sad that is, but it's true. What does he say again? In our culture, we tend to worship our work. We work at our play. We work hard to play. And then we play at our worship, especially during this time of year. This is not a time for play. This is a time for worship. And, you know, that's what the good news is all about, worshiping God. The distance between man and God is something that man created, by the way. God didn't create that. We created that. We created that distance, and God has bridged the gap just as he promised he would. And that right there is enough to worship God about. Forget about all the other things for a second. Just the fact that God reached out and bridged that gap that we have placed between him and us is enough for us to be drawn into worship. And he promised to do that. And we have an opportunity to celebrate that character in God. At the end of the school year, when you go to the school, you're sitting, and most of us have done this at some point. You go to the school as a parent, and you sit down and you say, okay, I got to go to the award ceremony at the end of the year. You're going to sit down, and they're going to hand out an award for, you know, attendance, you know, perfect attendance ribbon. They get the honor roll. There's nothing like seeing your kid get the godly character award. Nothing makes you prouder as a dad than to have that happen. And you know, there's something about the recognition of the character that God builds in us. You know, for some of us, life is pretty good right now. We have a job. We have a steady income. We have a roof over our head. We have a car. We have air conditioning in the summer and heat in the winter. We have all the luxuries that we need, and things are pretty good. And our family is all good. Nobody's upset at anybody in our household. We're all doing, everybody's just kind of that well-oiled machine, you know. We're all just doing it. And then there are other people who maybe have a little more difficult time this season. Maybe they don't have their spouse anymore. Maybe they don't have their parents for the first time this year, or maybe they lost a child this year, or maybe they lost a grandchild this year, or grandparents this year. I don't know, for some reason you feel like it's a little harder to celebrate. You know, some people have a bittersweet experience at Christmas time. I know people who have lost loved ones right on Christmas. So when Christmas comes around, they don't put up a tree, they don't put up lights, they don't want anything to remind them of the loss. And then there are some people who are just sour about the holidays. You know, we call them Grinches, right? Because they don't do anything. They never liked Christmas, never wanted to have Christmas, want nothing to do with Christmas because something has soured them toward Christmas. Maybe they didn't get the weenie whistle they wanted at Christmas. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But they're just sour. And, you know, we all have a reason to celebrate, because I want to say something to you this morning that you've heard before. And I didn't coin the phrase, but I will say to you that I think it was Tammy Baker. Maybe, I don't know. Remember Tammy? Forget it. Nothing is impossible without God, right? Nothing is impossible with God. That's what I meant. I'm going to go home now. It was the worst of times. Whatever you say today, no matter what else you hear, hear this. Nothing is impossible without God. It's all right? With God. What is the deal? It's written right here. Nothing is impossible with God. There we go. All right, I'll just stick right here. If I stay right here, we'll be all right. Whatever you do today, whatever you face today, recognize that nothing is impossible with God. Mary. She had fingers of faith. Mary had hands of faith. And as she held him in her arms, as she held him in her lap, she was truly looking on the face of God. She was touching God in a physical way, and I think before he was born, she touched God in a spiritual way. And when if you could just imagine what it is to look upon God's face, to see what God is capable of today and tomorrow. Do you think that she saw all that was going to happen when she saw Jesus in his little teeny trough there? You see, our praise has to be rooted in reality. The reality is that Jesus didn't stay a baby. You know? He didn't stay a baby. Matter of fact, there is a song that I want you to listen to. All right? And I want you to see the images that Mary saw when she saw Jesus' face. These are images that she would see in the very near future. Now, you can play that. Thank you. He said, I believe that when anybody truly touches Jesus, they see that, you know? And it takes, as a parent, I would never want anything like that for my child, but yet Mary knew this was going to take place. And yet she worshiped God. And so I don't know what you're going through this season. I don't know whether you're one of these people who are just not into Christmas. You know, I don't, for whatever reason, whatever experience you've had. But I want you to let your praise be based on reality. Be rooted in reality. The reality is Jesus Christ had to come, had to go through the process of life, and had to die. And so I love the picture in the middle where he throws water in his mom's face and he just kind of, he plays, you know what I mean, to see the reality of who Jesus, he was a man. He was 100% man, 100% God. I can't begin to wrap my mind around that whole picture, but just to know that he hurt. And so this morning, I just hope that you see the beautiful picture that Mary saw. She saw all this, the good and the bad, and yet she worshiped God. She never stopped worshiping God. She knew she was raising something amazing. And salvation is not that far off. You see, she sees this. And salvation is not that far off. And I want you to see that salvation is not that far off for you either. Salvation is right here at your doorstep. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to do that. You need to ask Jesus to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you your sins and to make you somebody different, just to change your life. And, you know, just by uttering those words and feeling, knowing in your heart that God saved you, you will never be separated from God. It's something that's eternal. Amen? Well, thanks again for coming. We're going to have a candlelight service on Tuesday night to come together and sing more Christmas songs and light some candles and just fellowship a little bit, 6:30 to about 7:15 or 7:30. And then I want you to go home and enjoy your family time. And then of course, we have services next week, but I would really like to invite you to come Tuesday night. Just spend some time with us. And it'll be really intimate and family time. But we're going to sing a song as we close the service out. And if you have any questions about anything, what our church can do for you or what God can do for you this morning, I'm going to stand at the back and I'll shut my mic off and we can pray together or talk together. But I'm going to let Chet end the service for us today with a song. And then during that song, if you have any questions, this is the time. We would normally call this an invitation time or a time to respond. So this is what that is. So I'm gonna stop talking in a minute after I pray, and then I'll be in the back. Father, we thank you again for this message. We pray that you would be with us during this invitation time. Pray that you would help us to realize our need in you. Father, we know that we can do all things with you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and Chet lead us. Amen.